Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I can't believe I have to say this, but the question is, on this fourth and final hour, are aliens real and are they coming for us? What? Yeah, there's a lot going on with our government right now, and this is not a conspiracy thing. This is real. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. What a busy Thursday, huh? Some great interviews earlier in the show. If you missed them, please catch them. They are podcasts for you. Like we podcast everything. We all do. Comet or spacecraft? Harvard professor doesn't rule out alien origin. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental, Cinnaminson, Woodbury. Go get your beautiful smile. Easy to get to, right over the bridge. 856-786-2020. So this Commodore spacecraft, basically the story that's happening right now, and this is, you know, I was seeing this on Fox News this morning, and I guess over the weekend, I had this Harvard professor on. This Comet 3-1 Atlas, 3i Atlas, which you're saying doesn't look like a spacecraft. But this Harvard professor went on Fox News and spoke to Peter Doocy and said it could be. So this guy is named Avi Loeb. He's a Harvard University science professor. So discount that immediately that he knows anything since he's from Harvard, obviously. We've learned the hard way on this show. I know Linda Kearns is adding that to her lawsuit. That's fine. This is what he said about this thing. Could comet or spacecraft?
Well, it could be that it was sent by some intelligent civilization elsewhere in the Milky Way galaxy. You know, the fundamental question is whether Elon Musk was the most accomplished space entrepreneur since the Big Bang, 13.8 billion years ago. And there are so many stars out there, 100 billion of them, and they many of them, 10% or so, have a planet the size of the Earth, roughly at the same separation. So, you know, in our cosmic neighborhood, there could have been many technologies like us a long time ago, billions of years ago. And so the question is, are they out there? And the best way to find out is to check for any spacecraft that may enter the solar system from outside. And lo and behold, there was a big object the size of Manhattan that was spotted on July 1st this year. It's moving in the plane of the planets as if it wanted to have a reconnaissance mission towards the planet. And it just passed the sun. It had some non-gravitational acceleration, meaning that there was some force acting on it in addition to gravity. And it looks really weird. There are several anomalies that I spotted, 12 of them, that make it unusual, unlike the comets that we are familiar with.
And so when you talk about these anomalies...
All right, now let's slow it down here for a second. The fact that we're even having this conversation kind of goes with a movie that's out called The Age of Disclosure. Now, in this documentary that came out, it features 34 senior members of the U.S. government, military and intelligence community revealing a cover up of the existence of non-human intelligent life and a secret war to reverse engineer technology of non-human origin. This sounds insane. I know it sounds insane. You're probably thinking to yourself, I mean, Zioli, what are we doing here? I'm just telling you that this film, which features prominent officials like Marco Rubio and others, exposes the profound impact the situation has on the future of humanity while providing a look behind the scenes with those at the forefront of the bipartisan disclosure effort. We support Senator Rounds and Senator Schumer's historic bipartisan UAP Disclosure Act, which endeavors to bring about disclosure of what the U.S. government knows about UAPs. UAPs are the new, it's the new UFO. So you say UAPs now. And as this three-eye Atlas comet is happening right now, and you've got people who are talking about this and they're saying, could this be more than just a comet? Anyway, I'm going to play the trailer for you of this age of disclosure. It begins with...
The American people are ready to receive the truth.
Humanity is not the only intelligence in the universe.
Humanity is not the only intelligent species.
We are absolutely not alone.
Non-human intelligence exists.
UAPs are real, they're here, and they're not human. I spent 25 years as a senior official with the CIA.
I worked on highly classified UAP programs.
28 years as an astrophysicist.
I served as the fourth director of national intelligence.
Director of aviation security and the national security.
Now, the only problem is that was James Clapper, who's a notorious liar, as you know, and should be in prison for his lies. So immediately I question the validity of this entire thing. It's like it's almost as if you're listening to people going, the Hunter Biden laptop is real. Again, I'm very skeptical of all this stuff. I'm not saying that it's not possible that there could be the existence of life outside of planet Earth. I'm just simply saying I have a lot of problems believing some of these people, like Clapper, for example. Clapper, Brennan, if they show up, immediately I go, ah, your credibility is in question. Now, I'm obviously cynical by nature and a little bit, you know, I'm like of the mindset of you got to be really, really careful about embracing this stuff based on the fact that these people spent decades lying to us in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, they were lying, and then now all of a sudden they're not lying anymore. And you wonder, you go, okay, are you not lying now because there's money to be made? I don't know. Again, this is the skepticism. I'm not ruling anything out. I'm just simply pointing out my skepticism. But let's keep going here.
Counsel?
The one-star admiral after 32 years of service.
People that come forward with this, I feel like they've taken their life in their own hands.
I was recruited to a highly sensitive government program that investigated unidentified aerial phenomenon.
For over 16 years, on behalf of the U.S. government, I worked as a senior intelligence official on the unidentified aerial phenomenon topic.
We learned that the U.S. government was involved in a long-running secret war with other nations to collect and reverse engineer vehicles not made by humans.
I have seen with my own eyes non-human craft and non-human beings.
And they show some clips of the UAPs.
The first country that cracks the code on this technology will be the leader for years to come.
China has established its own version of the UAP task force.
You think for a second that they wouldn't consider using it to achieve their ends of domination?
This is similar to the Manhattan Project. This is the atomic weapon on steroids.
This is so secret, very, very few people in our entire government have been allowed access to it.
Even presidents have been operating on a need-to-know basis, but that begins to ramp out of control.
It's not acceptable.
That's Marco Rubio. That's the Secretary of State of the United States / National Security Advisor to the President of the United States of America. Let's think about the idea that the presidents are kept in the dark on this stuff. Do you remember the movie Independence Day? Do you remember the scene where they take the president and he goes, why was I kept in the dark? Why didn't I know about this place? They take him to, I think it was like Area 51 or something. And they basically say to him, well, you know, they show him this. He goes, why didn't I know about this?
Why the hell wasn't I told about this place?
Two words, Mr. President. Plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. Are there things that they could keep from the president of the United States? No doubt. Absolutely. No question about it. We know that because we saw in the previous Trump term in 45 how they were working to undermine his presidency. So obviously they were keeping lots of things secret from him, like, hey, we're trying to undermine your presidency and destroy you from within. That was obviously something they didn't share with him. So I don't doubt what Rubio's saying there in the sense that they could keep things from presidents. I also just, I know the nature, the human nature is to be as close to the Oval Office as possible. In other words, somebody once said that the bigger the office you have in the White House, the less proximity you have to the president. And the reason why is because many people work in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building where they have huge offices. You know, it was built in the 1800s. They've got these massive offices. Some of them look like palaces, but that's technically not in the White House. It's on the White House complex, but it's not in the White House. In the West Wing, the offices are much smaller because it's a tighter space. So the chief of staff to the president has a much smaller office than, say, the director of political affairs, who has a palace in the EO or the EEOB. I'm not saying that the head of political affairs or any of the other people there are not important or close to the president. I'm simply saying that in the desire to be in that world, you want to be in the office next to the Oval Office, even if it is the size of a broom closet, because proximity, that is the reward. The corner office with the view, which they have in the new executive office building, which is across the street, beautiful corner offices, views of Washington. You're not even on the White House grounds. You don't want that. You want the proximity. You want the access. So my point is that if there were things like this, I have a hard time believing somebody who's a general or a bureaucrat or, you know, whatever, wouldn't go to the president, because knowing that doing so then elevates them. And I mean, it's what I would do. I always put myself in these shoes. You know, if I'm on some secret project and I'm a congressman or I'm a senator or I'm even a national security guy, and they're like, you can't tell the president about this, I think to myself what I would do, and I would go and tell the president. And then I would say, I'm violating their orders, but you're the boss, and I think you should know this, and I think it would serve me well. Maybe I'd end up dead, though. I think there's a lot more people that get killed. Truly, I mean, really, I genuinely believe that, in the name of national security, than we ever realize. It's just the nature of things. I mean, you know, people are expendable, and that the entire view of protecting people is that other people are expendable, and that you can blow up a boat, you can drop a bomb, you can kill innocent people by mistake, you can have, because they're expendable to protect you. So some guy who's going to blow the lid on something regarding UAPs who gets hit by a box truck on the way home, it's like, oops. I don't think they think twice about that stuff. No more so than when they drone strike a wedding in Pakistan and they kill like 200 innocent people. And it's like, well, hey, you know, we have the wrong coordinates. What are you going to do? And maybe somebody feels bad about it. I don't know. But I don't think it's an issue in terms of, I mean, we have people in Guantanamo who've still been there since 9/11. They're just sitting there. I don't think anyone cares if somebody disappears, if some guy who's about to blow the whistle goes missing or goes for a swim in the Potomac and somehow, you know, doesn't make it to the other side. Here's this is Congress. This is Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Let's pick it up. Actually, let's go back to Rubio if we could, guys. Thank you very much. Just back it up a tad there. Perfect. All right, let's do it.
Presidents have been operating on a need-to-know basis, but that begins to ramp out of control.
It's not acceptable to have secret parts of government that no one ever sees.
You better be careful about a government that doesn't trust its people, because there's no telling what they'll pull on you.
This is the biggest discovery in human history.
You had information being locked away that could change the trajectory for species.
It has so many beneficial impacts, including clean energy.
We should have disclosure today. We should have disclosure tomorrow. The time has come.
Age of Disclosure, 2025.
What else you want to know?
I mean, I can't wait to see it. I'm excited. The question, of course, is, and back to this comment now. So now you have this comment, and this Harvard professor goes on to say this could be an interstellar visitor, this comet that's been spotted here. Let's go back to that interview with Peter Doocy where this guy says it could be an interstellar visitor. All right. And let's go back to that for a second here.
And non-gravitational movement. The argument, and you write a lot about this on your blog, is that you think it's possible this big Manhattan-sized object could have like a thruster on it.
Right. We do see seven jets coming from it. Some are directed at the sun and some are pointed away from the sun. And it's not clear what is the origin of these jets. And one possibility is that it's pockets of ice on the surface of a rock. But another is that these are thrusters. And, they go a million kilometers in all directions. And, you know, that's quite unusual. And the good news is that we can collect a lot of data in the coming weeks. It will get closest to Earth on December 19th, about a week before the holidays. And let's just hope that it will not send any unwanted gifts to Earth.
And so when you talk about unwanted gifts, what you're basically describing is...
Now, I think this professor is fear-mongering. That's my own personal opinion. I think he's fear-mongering. Like, even if this thing is a spacecraft, it's not coming here to blow us up, I don't think. I don't think so. But I heard another science guy who was on today, and he's like, look, this guy's irresponsible. You know what I mean? The problem is, and this is something that Joe Rogan said, which I agree, and it's about experts and how we don't trust the experts anymore. And I don't trust the experts. You don't trust the experts. It's very hard to trust the experts. And a lot of these people who are coming forward and saying these things in this new documentary, for example, are also people that at one point were the experts who were telling us that these were just planes and you know what I mean? So and that's the thing. So Joe Rogan was on with Theo Vaughn and they were talking about this this issue. Take a listen here.
Crazy, like, you know, but then at least you didn't know who the people were. Yeah. But it was definitely weird that you're setting, and they don't live in nice neighborhoods. You know, like now there's a lot of like billionaire pedophiles that our government protects and stuff. But back then.
You really think so?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's what makes me nervous. I don't know.
I mean, they just had that thing that came out about the Trump Epstein thing the other day. That whole thing's just a kickball at this point, I feel like.
Bro, have you ever seen that video of me and Tim Dillon where Tim Dillon is laying out the scandal that took place in, like, was it the 1970s, Jamie?
Franklin scandal.
The Franklin scandal? Mm-hmm. What year was that?
I think in the 80s and 90s.
Bro.
Were y'all dressed up like astronauts, or was that the one?
Me and Tim Dillon? No. Yeah. Well, no, we're dressed normal.
Okay.
I don't even think he had the crazy glasses on back then. That was before he was protecting his eyes. Now he protects his eyes.
88.
Play that video. I sent it to you, right? This video is nuts, man. This was Tim laid this out quite a while ago, and I kind of forgot about it until it popped up on my feed. I was like, oh, and then I said, I can send it back to you if you
thank
me.
God for Tim Dillon.
Oh my God, he's the best. There's never been a better ranter ever in the history of ranting.
Ever. Since who? I bet there was somebody a long time ago that was good, but we don't have enough of his work to really compete against him.
He's the funniest by far. He's the most sarcastic, the most tongue-in-cheek, and the most well-read.
Yes.
The thing about Tim Dillon is, like, he doesn't just go with narratives because he thinks that you want him to say certain things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's very, very well-read. And he forms his opinions based on facts, and then turns it into humor.
Yeah.
He's the f***ing man. Play this.
It was a scandal out of Omaha, Nebraska, the Franklin Credit Union, where there was a guy who was embezzling money, and then he was being investigated for that, but they said he has all this money because he's running an interstate pedophile network, and he's pandering kids to, you know, people in Washington, D.C., and New York, and there was a headline in the Washington Post or the Washington Times that were like, call boys get a tour of the Reagan White House.
Unidentified White House aides in the Carter, Reagan, and Bush administrations now are being investigated for using the services of
a call boy ring. The paper reports that two of the male prostitutes were given a late night tour of the White House last year.
And, you know, this was a scandal with real victims who wanted to testify, and then people started dying. You know, the private investigator they hired, his plane broke up. One of the girls that testified was found guilty of perjury and that she was put in solitary confinement. They had to use two grand juries in Omaha to get rid of this scandal. And it's one of, now it's not as sexy as like a Pizzagate or something because it happened in the 80s and 90s, but this shows you the blueprint for the government, you know, using marshaling resources to silence people that were victims of this stuff. This is not new. Congressmen.
And by the way, if you ever watch the HBO show True Detective, they kind of get into this whole scandal that happened. I've talked about this before on the show. I talked about that scandal in Washington many times. There was never any evidence that the presidents themselves knew about it. You know, like that President Reagan or President Bush, or I mean, there was never any evidence of that. And believe me, again, like if they could have found something on that to use against them, they would have. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I think the point of it is that we're all used to the government covering things up. We're all used to the you're crazy, and then people go and die. You know what I mean? And you don't know what to believe anymore. And it's very easy for somebody to come out and say something that sounds nuts, but then ultimately may not be nuts. You know, and this is why I bring on people like Jerrold Posner, because Posner is a guy who takes the time to methodically go through things and come to conclusions that are not the kind of clickbait stuff that you would say, hey, this may get a million views, but it's nuts. I mean, for example, Megyn Kelly had on Glenn Greenwald. Now, I think Glenn Greenwald is fantastic. I really do. They talked about Thomas Crooks. And essentially now what Glenn Greenwald is saying is that Thomas Crooks may have been recruited by the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, somebody like that. Now, there's no evidence of that at all. But again, in the absence of not having any real information, when they say that, though there's no footprint, there's no digital footprint, the guy was a ghost, and then suddenly you find out he wasn't, in the absence of that, people are going to turn around and go, well, maybe it's because he was recruited by the FBI, or was recruited by the Secret Service. They go on to say this, I mean, we have Susan Crabtree, whom I really trust. She reports for Real Clear Politics. You hear her on our show all the time. And she covers the Secret Service for them. She's a totally above board reporter. And she responded as follows, quote, Crooks was on YouTube threatening to kill government officials, and he was called out for it by another user, which is true. Why didn't the FBI find these posts? Why hasn't this ever been released? Why don't we know who that user is who called him out? That person should at least be considered a hero, she says. And then she writes, the FBI was stonewalling Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Rand Paul's staff as of the one-year anniversary of Butler. And Megyn Kelly goes on to say, or like, she's the one who broke all the big news on the Secret Service around Butler. Susan, our buddy, Susan Crabtree. And the FBI was stonewalling two Senate offices as of the one-year anniversary of Butler. Both Senate offices stated one of those offices said the Trump FBI was at first cooperating this spring and even had a briefing with Senate staffers on Crooks and on Butler, et cetera, but then abruptly stopped doing so, which earned a triple exclamation point from me in my notes. So what happens here is that in the absence of information, or when the government officials tell us one thing and then you have new revelations come out, whether it's on UAPs or it's on Thomas Crooks' social stuff, you realize how we're all being lied to all the time. But then when people come forward and then they were the ones who were doing the lying, it's almost like, can I trust these people? And I think there's the disconnect with all that. There's the disconnect with all that. And then we have experts who we know were wrong on everything from COVID and lockdowns and the Hunter Biden laptop. And I mean, just vicious, purposeful lies towards all of us. So when NASA comes out and says this thing is just a comet, you want to believe them because you go, it's NASA. I want to believe that this thing's a comet because, hey, NASA, you guys are experts. But then in 10 years from now, when one of those guys who's telling us it's a comet winds up on a documentary telling us how he lied about it was a comet, I'm like, well, are you lying now because you're trying to make money? I don't know. And therein lies the problem. All right, more to come in our fourth and final hour as we continue on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Social media, kids, all that stuff, Epstein, all of it's in the news. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. I appreciate you being here on this Thursday as we get ready to wrap it up. Jonathan Haidt is a psychologist. He's talked about the anxiety and depression, particularly around our kids today, the anxious generation and everything else. Now, you know, the point that I was making earlier, and actually our buddy Wake Up NJ, Mike, posted a video about this. Kids are given Chromebooks now, all right? My son has a Chromebook. And the point that I made yesterday when we were on Newsroom and they asked about this school in Maine where instead of detention, the kids are going on these long hikes. And I said, great, I'm all for it because I want them doing something that is outside versus sitting at their desk. So like if Patrick gets in trouble, and I mean, look, he's a great kid. He's a good kid. He gets in trouble for talking sometimes, just like I do, just like I did. He's my son. And he gets in trouble for talking sometimes, and the detention is, you know, you can't go outside for a recess. You got to sit at your desk and be on your computer. And that makes no sense. Many of these kids would rather get that punishment than go outside and play. Not my son. He loves it. He loves the time outside. He loves playing. He loves doing all that. And we've said before to his teacher, instead, if he gets in trouble, can you please let him go outside and not sit there with his Chromebook? And the point that I made yesterday was, I think for a lot of these kids, it's just they're energetic. They're kids. Then you get into the question of whether or not you go, should these kids be on social media? And, you know, not yet. Certainly not my kids. No way. They're way too young for that. What happens? And then Jonathan Haidt talks about how liberal girls who really rise fast and fastest on depression and being conservative seems to root you, which is very interesting. I'm not surprised by that because this is something we've talked about a lot. I think conservative people are happier people. I really do. I think libertarians are even the happiest because they just don't want the government involved at all. They just don't care. They just say live and let live and leave people alone. But I think that conservatives are happier than liberals, today's liberals anyway, the modern day left. They're always witching, very careful there, and complaining about everything from the pronouns you use to the car you drive to what you're eating to, I mean, it's nonstop looking around and finding something to be offended by, and that is exhausting. It's exhausting to do that. I wouldn't want to be in that position to have to constantly, every single freaking day, look around and go, oh, that offends me, that offends me. And that's what the left does. Whereas I think the more conservative you are, the more grounded you are in things that are, well, let's say, for example, if you're involved in your church, if you're involved in your community, it's a shared community and it's a positive, you're looking at positivity. believing in something, faith, giving back, doing charitable things. That's all positive stuff. If you're involved in, I don't know, whatever the protest group is, the No Kings Wacko Job group, and you got to meet every Tuesday afternoon in front of Fox News to protest, like, that's depressing because you have to focus on all the negativity to fuel your 9 hours dressed up in a costume rage. You're dressed up in a freaking costume. Like, that's exhausting. And you go on social media and you see a lot of these people who are, and we play them on the show, and it's like, man, how do you people do this every day? Here's what Jonathan Haidt said about that.
Girls spend a lot more time on social media than boys. Liberal girls spend a lot more time than conservative girls. That didn't used to be the case, but as we get into the 2010s, when everything gets so politicized, we get into the Great Awakening, we get into the polarization, the illiberalism that is, you know, that you and I have really been, you know, writing about and talking about for a long time. As we get into the era, the feeds of the liberal girls gets.
By the way, illiberalism is really the opposite of liberalism, which is, you know, true traditional liberalism. If you're a traditional liberal, classical liberal is really what we call it, classical liberal, then what you have there is you believe in things. You believe in freedom and liberty. If you're a liberal in today, you are illiberal. You don't believe in things like free speech. You don't believe in things like freedom of expression. It's the opposite of that. Okay, go ahead.
It's much more taken over by how terrible the world is, everything sexist, you're not going to get ahead. And this is like the greatest era of female progress that we're going through. But liberal girls are sort of caught in a set of disempowering ideas. And my previous book, The Coddling the American Mind, with Greg Lukianoff, was exactly about that. Here's three terrible, terrible ideas. And if you believe them, you're almost guaranteed to be a failure in life. You know, it's what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. Always trust your feelings. And life is a battle between good people and evil people. And for liberal girls, a lot of them got sucked into that kind of mindset. And it happened on Tumblr in 2013. That was the transition point when certain ideas were developed. So that's when girls' mental health takes a tumble. If you graph out liberal boys and liberal girls and conservative boys and conservative girls, it's the liberal girls who really rise first and fastest on depression. And the conservative boys are not up that much. So everyone is worse off. But being conservative seems to root you. You're not as easily pushed into this crazy world. Being in a religious family seems to root you. And those two things seem to be protective.
I mean, that's from the Free Press. I completely agree with that, by the way. I completely agree with that, that notion. And he mentions our friend Greg Lukianoff, who is at FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. He wrote a book called The Coddling of the American Mind, and he talks about some things in there, like the three great untruths. He and Jonathan Haidt together came up with this. One, you must strive to avoid bad experiences at all costs. Two, you must always trust your emotions over reason. Three, the world is a black and white battle between good and bad people. There is no middle ground. These beliefs insulate students from ideas with which they disagree, are deeply dangerous to free expression, and are harmful to students' emotional development. By succumbing to their own sense of fragility and wrapping themselves in the cloak of victimhood, young people today are developing cognitive patterns similar to those of people suffering from anxiety and depression. Ultimately, young people must develop the skills and the fortitude to feel empowered. Being exposed to controversial ideas and unpleasant experiences is a vital part of human development. The key is not to crumble and retreat into learned helplessness in the face of adversity, but rather to overcome it and emerge better and stronger. I agree with that. And the problem is that we have a lot of things on college campuses right now where we tell the opposite. We say to people, what you need to do now is never be upset. You know, never be upset. Don't be upset. If you do that, you will have a very hard time in life if you're upset. So don't be upset. And that's not consistent with real life. It's not. It's not consistent with real life. The other thing we're doing with kids is we're over-medicating them. And we all know that. And there's a story in the Wall Street Journal today. Millions of kids are on ADHD pills. For many, it's the start of a drug cascade. Powerful psychotropic drugs are often the next step, even though their combined effects in young children haven't been studied closely. And then they have a quote from a kid who said, I was living in a body hijacked by medication. So there's one, two, three, four people who wrote this article. And they talk about Daniel Gransky was 7 years old when the administrator at her upscale private girls' school in suburban Philadelphia flagged problems with her academic performance. She was a bubbly and creative kid, but she was easily distracted in class and her schoolwork was sloppy. The school told Gansky's mother that the girl should see a psychiatrist who diagnosed her with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and prescribed a stimulant. Concerned that she might get kicked out if her focus didn't improve, her mother broke out into tears and agreed. But the pills made her agitated, moody, and angry, so another doctor put her on Prozac. More pills followed. Over the years, she was always on two and sometimes three or more psychiatric drugs at once. By her late 20s, she had taken 14 different kinds of psychiatric pills. Concerta for inattention. Concerta is like a Ritalin or Adderall sort of thing. Prozac for moodiness. Lorazepam for anxiety. Lorazepam is similar to Valium. None of it ever felt right. The pills dulled her mind and made her irritable or sleepy. But when Gansky complained about the drugs, her doctors would up her dose and try another medication. She said, I was living in a body hijacked by the medication. She's 29 now. She's still struggling to wean herself off an antidepressant. I didn't have the words or authority to challenge what I was being told. Tens of thousands of kids who take prescription ADHD medication also wind up on other powerful psychotropic drugs, including antipsychotics and antidepressants, studies show. For some of them, the ADHD drugs themselves can be a trigger, according to doctors, patients, and psychologists who say additional medications are often prescribed to manage side effects such as insomnia, despite limited scientific evidence supporting these combinations in young developing brains. One in five kids who take these stimulant drugs, they're just the beginning. Children who were prescribed a medication for ADHD were far more likely to take additional psychiatric drugs over the ensuing 4 years. About 7.1 million American children ages 3 to 17 have an ADHD diagnosis, according to an analysis of 2022 federal data. About half took ADHD medication for it that year, and prescriptions are growing. So obviously, there's a problem here. And, you know, I personally wish that the people who are now running the show in the health area of things would talk about this more. And we don't know the effects of combining all these things on kids. And we don't know if these school shooters are on multiple forms of combinations of drugs and what that does to the brain of young developing minds. We just don't know. I mean, if they tell us the brain is still developing until age 25 and we're giving these brain altering drugs to kids and we're doing all these combinations of things and everything to a developing brain, I don't know. I mean, that to me, that sounds really like a bad idea. But for the people making the drugs, they're making a ton of money. A ton of cash. I was watching Landman season two, the first episode. There's this scene where Billy Bob Thornton, this woman comes over to him and says, do you want breakfast? And he's like, I don't want breakfast. And she goes, it's the most important meal of the day. And he says, well, who says that? And she goes, the people that say these things. And he goes, I'll tell you who says these things. It's the people that run Kellogg's and the people that make all that. And it's really fantastic.
No breakfast?
I'm not much of a breakfast eater.
Most important meal of the day?
You think so?
Well, that's what they say.
Who's they?
I don't know. Whoever says these things.
I'll tell you who they is. It's Kellogg's and General Mills and whoever makes little frozen round waffles. That's who it is.
Eggo, I think.
Eggo, exactly, which is owned by Kellogg's. The people that tell us that breakfast is the most important meal of the day are the sons of that make the stuff. You think our ancestors had breakfast? You think cavemen sat around a fire eating waffles? No. I guarantee you. I mean, if they ate breakfast at all, it was probably bone marrow and an impala they dried out over a fire. But I guarantee you they didn't have cornflakes.
You sure you want more coffee?
You don't sell cigarettes?
Not since the 90s.
You don't have any secrets.
So how do you know?
Anyway, I love that scene.
No,
I thought it was very, very... It's a great show, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's a really great show. All right, more to come as we wrap up and throw it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Don't go away.
The rich. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's the Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It was a triumphant week for the president, foreign policy-wise, again. And look, he's killing it on foreign policy. The problem that I see, though, and what worries me, is that there are people domestically who feel like this administration is not focused enough on them. And that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about. And I'm worried about that, and I say this as somebody who wants to see him succeed, obviously. And what needs to, because his poll numbers on foreign policy are great. I mean, his rating here, Harry Enten from CNN pointing that out.
Breaking news, sources tell CNN that the Trump administration has been working to try to hammer out a new peace plan with Russia to end its war on Ukraine. The Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, and a top-level Pentagon delegation is in Ukraine to meet with Ukrainian officials at this moment. These negotiations really boosted in intensity this week as the Kremlin signaled renewed openness to some kind of a deal. We're bringing CNN chief data analyst Harry. And look, it's no secret that President Trump wants a Nobel Prize for his foreign policy.
Yes.
He talks about it. He wants it.
Yes.
He has what happened in Gaza to point at. He thinks that if he hammers out a deal with Ukraine and Russia, that could burnish his credentials. What do voters think about what he's doing on foreign policy?
You know, this is one of the areas in which Donald Trump is performing significantly better than he was in term one. One of his best issues relative to term one. What are we talking about? Approval of Trump on foreign policy at this point in term one. Look, Donald Trump was just at a 35% approval rating, up like a rocket. We're talking about 43% now. That's an 8-point rise on the net approval rating. We're talking about a double-digit rise. The American people like much more of what they're seeing from Donald Trump in foreign policy in term two than they did in term number one.
So often presidents in their second term, usually later in their second term, frankly, will turn to foreign policy. So how does President Trump compare to past presidents in their second term?
You know, this to me is one of the most interesting data points, because normally when we look at these data points, we see that Trump is doing worse than other presidents. But on this one, he is doing significantly better, because take a look here. All right, 21st century foreign policy approval rating at this point in term two. George W. Bush was down at 36%. Barack Obama was at 37%. Look at this. Donald Trump actually leads the pack at 43%.
Now, I actually believe it's higher than 43%. But people just won't say that. The answer is we don't have wars. He's ending wars. He's bringing peace. It is wonderful. It is fantastic. It is what I voted for. I am so happy. I love it. We're not getting bogged down in endless wars. We're not drone striking the hell out of everybody. But it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. He's using leverage, and this is where I do think he needs to have tariff authority in the context of being able to use it to wield with these foreign nations to say, cut the crap or I'll impose tariffs on you. I absolutely believe that is a power he should have. It's working. Domestically, though, he needs to focus domestically on what needs to happen to bring prices down at the grocery store. And again, I'm saying this because I call balls and strikes on the show, as you know, and I'm nervous as we're heading into the holidays that we're being told that prices are better. We heard that from Caroline Leavitt today. The problem, again, though, is that people are not feeling that. And there is a very short memory. People have short memories. You know, you could say, well, things were worse under Biden. People don't give a damn. They don't care. They vote for somebody to fix things. You know this. I know this. And they don't want to hear that it was worse before. They want to hear, how is it better now? That's what they want. That's what they need to hear. And I know, and you know, that it was so bad under Biden that it needs to be fixed. I get it. But people don't remember that. They don't go, oh, well, it was 50 cents more under Biden. They just go, it's still expensive. That's what worries me and what troubles me. And somebody wants him to succeed. Now, the good news is that we are at a point right now where I think that with energy prices coming down, I do think things are going to be better. And I do think things are going to be better in time for midterms. I think we got to show more empathy here. I think we got to show this sense of feeling like we get it. Maybe a little Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. No doubt about it. That's what should happen, in my opinion, as we do this, because Trump is best when he is connecting with people who are, in fact, hurting. The forgotten man. And while we're cheering on the foreign policy achievements, we don't want to make people feel like they are forgotten here at home. That's what needs to occur. All right. Have a great rest of your night. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.